What a great day this is. It's the first day of spring, but it's the Lord's Day, and that's most important. And that comes every week, and we look forward to that as much as we look forward to spring once a year. Now, many of you have asked, and thank you for this, where is your wife, Grace? Grace typically goes with me everywhere, but this is spring break at Faulkner University, and I guess across the state of Alabama. One of our Faulkner students is also from the little hometown that we are from and where our children are, a little town that begins with an O in Central Florida called Orlando. And every opportunity that student has to go home, and they look to see if they can coordinate a ride. So Grace went down early and to take her home and to be with our family. But to say it this way, to say that, well, Grace went to Florida on spring break doesn't really sound all that good. So at least you know she went down to be with the grandbabies. And I wrote her that message on Facebook. I said, save me a seat, Grammy. Papa will be there as soon as possible. We're thankful to be able to meet together to preach and to teach and to commemorate the Lord's Supper. The problem we have, probably all of us, is that we tend to lose time. We either waste time or we didn't use it the way that we wanted to. I don't know about you. It's true in my life. But we lose time, for example, inadvertently. We don't mean to do it, but it happens. Here's some stats. In the average American's lifetime, we will spend 6 months at stoplights. Now, if you live at near across from Faulkner University trying to get in and out of campus, that's probably about 8 months, if you ask me. But anyway, speaking of 8 months, this says we'll be spending 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for misplaced objects. I guess that was before you could clap and the thing ring at you, but 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, and 6 years eating, and maybe in my case, 7 years eating. But we do spend a lot of time doing these simple things. Now, we also lose time. Let's be frank about it. We lose time by bad choices as well. We lose time by things we should not be doing. One of those is things that we didn't know any better. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, we will see that this is kind of referring to people that lived a life, didn't know better. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says to Christians, "In you he is quickened, he is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature," that means by practice, "children of wrath, even as the others." You probably know people, you may be one of them, that knew what it was like before you came to Christ to spend your life as we sang, "Years I spent in vanity and pride." There are a lot of people, before they came to the Lord, lived a very ungodly lifestyle. And as they came to face the good news and the saving message of the gospel of Christ, one of the things that they had to deal with was looking on their life, where they are, and realizing it was a life of vanity, a life of pride, a life that was displeasing to God. Indeed, it was a life that was wasted in the eyes of God. Now, sometimes we lose time by bad choices when we know better. For example, we may be involved in habits that are just not that productive. We may be spending time watching worthless things on television. Psalm 101, "I will Put nothing wicked before my eyes, the psalmist said. How much worthless programs, how many worthless programs do we see? Do we click with our mouse on worthless things? This is rhetorical. Do not answer it. But how many of you saw a link referring to the behavior of a particularly famous singer, what a singer did? It's been on just about every news site I've seen over in the junk corner. And I thought Satan would want me to click on that. I did not. I hope you didn't. But there's lots of clickbait out there. That's why we call it that. And Satan would want us to spend time on things that are worthless or worse. Well, while life, even innocuous things, can chip away at our time, sometimes in huge blocks, it's vital that we don't do what the psalmist said in Psalm 39, and in verse 6, he uses the phrase, in vain. It is important that we do not busy ourselves in vain. It would be good for us to spend a little time realizing how much time do I spend in worthless things. Our time to God is very brief. Even a life of 95-ish, 7 years. Oh, how wonderful. But to our God, that is so brief. It's like a vapor. He doesn't want us to waste our life, and when we do, we throw away one of the most precious commodities that He gives us. It is an irretrievable gift, and the question is our time well spent? So that's the problem. What is the answer? Well, if you're taking notes, if you want to, they all begin with a letter R. The problem is, except for that one, we lose time inadvertently. The answers begin with an R, and the first one is to recognize what we are doing. If we're spending time in worthless things, let's wake up and see that it's worthless. Stop being in a stupor. Stop being so enamored by the things of the world that we're not conscious of the things of God. The second thing we need to do is that we need to regret the waste. And this can be really hard, especially for those of us that have felt like I missed an opportunity, maybe not just one opportunity, I have missed a whole lifetime of opportunities. If we sat and we stewed about it, we could probably think about all the regrets that we had about the things that we missed, relationships that we could have had, but don't have. It's important for us to regret it enough to do something about it. As we regret it, then we need to move on. We need to stop regretting failures enough to start learning from our mistakes. That's why we regret the past. We can't change the past. We can't beat ourselves up over things that we cannot change, but we can determine after we recognize it was not the way to do it, that's not the way to live our lives, and we determine it from here on out, I am going to look forward. We're going to learn from our mistakes. That's why Paul, well, that's one of the ways we use Philippians 4 in verse 13, 3 in verse 14, I should say, when Paul said that he forgets those things that are behind and he looks forward to those things that are ahead or before, pressing toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So yes, we regret, but then we look forward. And what do we do about it? And then the third thing that we are to do is to redeem the time. In your Bibles, Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul addressed verses 2 through verse 5, the relationship that Christians have with God and with other people. And this is what he says. Colossians 4 in verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. And then even in verse 6, he says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You know, verse 2 tells us that prayer is vital. It's vital in a lot of ways. It expresses our relationship to God, and of course it's a privilege because of what Christ did for us. And God will accomplish many things for us, but He will not necessarily do it if we don't ask Him in prayer. What are you missing now in your life that you decided not to bother God with? And yet in James chapter 4, in verse 2, James tells us there, he says, "And you lust, you do not have." Now that's a pretty strong rebuke, but listen to the next thing he says. You murmur, you covet, you cannot obtain. It's another rebuke. You fight in war, and then listen to this. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Their problem was the things that they wanted, they were going about it wrong. They were looking for their own way to get it. And there's some people in this world that if you have it, they want it. If you have it, they want it, they're going to plot a way to get it. And James says, what you need to do, if you need something, if you don't have it, you need to ask God. He's the giver, according to chapter 1, of every good and perfect gift. The Apostle John said, we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we don't have to worry about being without if we will ask Him. That's the proper way for us to approach prayer for God or with God. But we certainly need to continue to pray because we need to continue to be alert in prayer. And maybe that's our biggest problem. Maybe we're not focused in prayer. It could be quantity time, and it could be quality time, but we're not focused in prayer. Paul says be vigilant. And that word vigilant there just reminds us of the watchman that would watch over the city. Be vigilant in prayer. Pray to the Father. He knows all of our problems anyway, and He's waiting for us to acknowledge that He is the one that can help us. We need to be those that, someone said, it's like breathing, that we pray, we inhale by prayer, and we exhale by thanksgiving. So as we are alert in prayer, we express gratitude in view of His goodness and His grace. You know what's interesting about the book of Colossians, in one way, that it is the most thankful books of the New Testament. That idea of thanksgiving is throughout these chapters. Paul requested his readers to pray for him, and I thought that was interesting. Now, here's an apostle. He's a missionary, and he's one that's received revelation from God. What would he need from, if I was in his time, if I was one of the members of the Colossian congregation, what would he need from me in prayer? Doesn't the Bible also teach that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much? Was not Paul as righteous as anyone you could think of? And so you'd think, Paul, what do you need my prayers for? And yet Paul says to the brethren, people like you and me, pray for us. It tells you the power of prayer that we all have access to. And he said two things here. He said, first of all, pray that we would have the opportunity, and secondly, that when we have it, we would speak clearly. A little bit of self-examination right now. How many opportunities do we have? How many do you have? And if you have the opportunities, are you speaking clearly? Do people know what they need to do to get better, closer to God, after you speak to them. I just recently read this. I think it might have been Brother Finter, I don't know, posted this. I thought, well, that's something. I can't remember a lot of things. I don't know about you, but I have to go back and read and have to write, you know, look at my notes. That's one reason why I need to read the Bible more and more and more, because I just don't trust my memory. And I think that's fine with God. Need to be reading. But he said something very simple. He said, die once, live twice. Live once, die twice. Live once, die twice. Well, I got to thinking about that and I said, that's pretty catchy. What that's doing is trying to help people see that we need to obey the gospel. And if we will do that in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then we will have eternal life. I told you I didn't trust my memory. It just came a little clearer. Born once, die twice. As in, if you're only physically born and you go to eternity unprepared, you'll face eternal death. But if you're born again, like Jesus said in John chapter 3:3-5, the new birth, then you won't die in all eternity if you're faithful. At the end of this life, you may die, you will die, but that will be it. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Something as simple as that, if you remember how to say it, can be helpful to somebody out there. That's right. Thank you. Need an amen there. All right. So we recognize what we're doing. We regret the waste. We redeem the time. And that means better use of our time for the Lord. Paul said in Colossians 4, redeeming the time. And in Ephesians 5, Paul adds the phrase to that, because the days are evil. How do we do that? How do we make better use of our time for the Lord? First of all, maybe we could go around edifying, building people up, encouraging them, educating them. And as Paul said later in this chapter, earning. What do you mean? Well, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's good. What about evangelizing? How do you do that? Well, why don't you invite, engage, minister, develop interests, break ground, plant the seed, pray, read, hear God's word, assemble with the saints. Remember your influence that you have. Use it well. Someone wrote this little 2 or 3 liner. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By deeds that you do, by words that you say, men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? What do people see in you? Well, what about better use of time in our work? You know, this past week we had a 167, I guess, if I did the math right, hour week. We lost an hour, didn't we, last Sunday morning? Where did it come from? Well, last fall they gave us an hour, so they just took it back. And regardless of what you think about that, I guess, you know, people think, well, we're going to change our behavior. We've got extra daylight. We're going to do this, that, and other. Bottom line is, we really don't change our behavior. Whether we lose an hour, so to speak, or whether we gain an hour, so to speak, we really don't change much of our behavior. We pretty much live as we always live. So the problem is not a lack of time. What we need to do is change what we do. For family and personal life, Fathers, lead your family spiritually. If there's no father in the home, mothers, lead your family spiritually. Bless those children. Read, share something every day from God's Word. Go outside and enjoy nature as what it is, God's creation. Make sure you make that connection. Write in your prayer journal about what you hope the next year will bring, and remember Paul's words in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What is it? You feel like you need a new job? Do you need a new location? Do you need new friends? Whatever it may be, give it to the Lord in prayer. If it's right and good, then ever how He answers it will be the right thing. If you have small children, or maybe even teenagers, it might be good to do something a little bit out of character that your kids would get a kick out. If you're a neat freak, maybe you need to do some fingerprint painting. Maybe you need to do that a little bit. If you're all about books, maybe you need to see a little bit of videos, not too much. But if you're all about organic kale chips, maybe you ought to eat a hot fudge sundae every once in a while. Well, that'd be a good thing. All right. Well, if you like these ideas, don't wait for next fall to find an extra hour, because we already have more time than what we think. We need to work now on building the lives that God would have us to do. Have you ever heard this poem? It's called No Time to Play. My precious boy with the golden hair came up one day beside my chair and fell upon his bended knee and said, "Oh, Mommy, please play with me." I said, "Not now. Go on and play. I've got so much to do today." He smiled through tears and eyes so blue when I said, "We'll play when I get through." But the chores lasted all through the day, and I never did find the time to play. When supper was over and dishes done, I was much too tired for my little son. I tucked him in and kissed his cheek and watched my sweetie fall asleep. As I tossed and turned upon my bed, those words kept ringing in my head. "Not now, son, go out and play. I've got so much to do today." I fell asleep, and in a minute span, my little boy is a full-grown man. No toys are there to clutter the floor, no dirty fingerprints on the door, no snacks to fix, no tears to dry. The rooms just echo my lonely sigh. And now I've got the time to play. My precious boy is gone away. I awoke myself with a pitiful scream and realized it was just a dream. For across the room in his little bed lay my curly-haired boy, the sleepy head. My work will wait till another day, for now I must find some time to play. I think the older we get, the more we see the wisdom of that. That was Mrs. Diana Neal that wrote that. Are you a student that needs more time? Here's some things you can do. Especially if you're in college or high school, make sure that you plan a balanced schedule. First, people say church, let's say the kingdom. Keep the kingdom first. Classes, study, and work, then recreation and socializing. Make sure you keep that balance. Study at a regular time in a regular place, a specific subject. Some say study as soon as after a lecture as class as possible. Some say use odd hours during the day for studying. 1 or 2 hours here, 1 or 2 hours there that normally are wasted, you could use for studying. Eat well-balanced meals and get regular exercise. It will help you improve your concentration, improve your mood, and your energy level. And then one final thing that maybe we all knew, and that is you should always double your time estimates because it seems like it will always take twice as long as what you had planned for. If you're an employee or a business person, what could you do? Plan your day in prayer, remembering this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. Psalm 37, 23 and verse 24. You should also practice stopping yourself from checking Facebook, Instagram, or all that other stuff that I don't even know about. Checking it every minute. If your phone gives you notifications and dings and vibrates every time somebody wrote back to you and went, ha ha, LOL, and you stop what you're doing and pull that thing out and look at it, you are wasting time. Unless you just really, 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 really like that sort of thing and it's just helping you. But more than likely, you probably need to trim that out. And you should also remember, for your own sake, that it's almost impossible to get everything done. Now, for all of us and for your life as well, remember this. There's several things here. Use every moment or occasion well. Train yourself to do that. How am I going to use this time well? The scripture is Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Are you running an errand? How can you do that to the Lord? You may see someone, and normally etiquette, you know, especially in a big city where we've spent a lot of time, bigger city, etiquette is you don't bother anybody that's a stranger. They'll think you're weird. I'm very grateful that etiquette in Montgomery, Wetumpka, this area, is you see a stranger, you see them 100 yards away, it's very polite to speak to them and to smile. I'm grateful for that. All right, but what happens if you go to a place where people don't do that? It's a little harder, but you know what? People need your kindness and your greeting. They need you to speak and to say something full of grace. They need you to show your light of Christ Jesus. All right, so use every moment well. Number two, find ways to build on your success. If you succeeded in something, then consider it God's providence that you did and say, okay, how will the Lord help me to take this to another level or to do something else that's good and important? Number three, remind yourself that there is always enough time for the important things. Always. You can always do first things first. Number four, don't waste time on negative emotions or hatred of other people. I'm not saying sometimes you have responsibilities that are not fun. Well, we can cast our burdens on the Lord. But if we catch ourselves just grumbling, if there's a dark cloud above us, because we listen to the gossip of the world, remember, the worldly people right now are full of hatred toward other people. It's getting nasty out there in the public arena. The question is, do you want to dwell on that? Do you want your mind filled with that? Or do you need to step back and think on better things? Pray, pray, turn to God. Examine your old habits and search for ways to change or eliminate them. And ask yourself, why am I doing this? If you find yourself stuck in something that's not productive. Another one, many of you know this, use waiting time. Use it well. You could review notes. You could practice math problems. In my case, I just need a little plus, as you know, I'm not real far along in that. So wouldn't be too hard to do that. You could carry a pocket Bible. Now most of us have it on our mobile phones. There's no excuse for not turning to the Bible when we have some downtime. Next, make short-term, long-term goals, but make sure that if it is the Lord's will, we shall do this or that. Another thing is that we can multitask. And I'm really careful about this because some of you are really good at this. I am not. But if you find yourself sitting in a meeting, and I do not mean the assembly of the saints, but if you are at a meeting or you're in front of the TV or whatever, and you can crochet at the same time, use your time well. If you can shell butter beans, use your time well. one of our professors at the school. We're in these meetings, and they last a few hours, and really her only responsibility is to be a courteous listener, is to nod and smile. Guess what she's doing? She's over there crocheting some baby shoes, or what do you call it, booties or that sort of stuff. Doing something, a blanket or booties for baby. She's doing something good with her time. Learn to multitask. Put your efforts in things that provide long-term benefits, and remember, the kingdom business is the longest term. Can you go out and visit somebody in the church? Can you help out the elders or the ministers or the deacons? Can you lend a hand in that way? Be sure that you set deadlines for yourself and remember this and enjoy this four-letter word. D-O-N-E. How good it feels to say, done, and move on. Well, there are a lot of ways that we would adjust our time when we think about redeeming the time. The final two things, number one, is to let God restore the years. What do you mean by that? Listen to what he said. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." And then he continues on talking about that. God promised a restoration from all the waste, the devastation that they suffered from the locust plague. God will do something good for us. Let's rejoice that God will make things better. This is how he will do it. In Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4, remember we talked about those being dead in sin? Now listen to this. Because if you're regretting your years you spent in vanity and pride, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Taking someone who's spiritually dead, when they obey the gospel of Christ, making them alive and putting them seated in heavenly places is a figurative way of saying all the blessings that we have in Christians, as Christians. And no matter what was behind us, when we turn to Christ in true repentance, God will make it all better for all eternity. We can rejoice in what Paul said to the Romans. For we know that all things work together to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So no matter how much time you felt like you've wasted, or how much of your life you've wasted before you became a Christian, then isn't it a wonderful thing that the one that controls it all can make everything better for us if we will redeem the time, if we will use our opportunities? You may not be a Christian this morning, but you may be hearing God's word as it is being read, as you have read it. You may be hearing the message that you need to change. And why not? You have today, and we know that's all that we are guaranteed. You may be a Christian that maybe need to make changes. Why not, from this moment on, come to the one that holds the future and is ready to restore you, as we stand together and as we sing.